appreciate all God's done through the years. And I tell you what, I like them padded pews myself. I'm kind of glad God sent the rain. I enjoyed them padded pews. You sit on one of them chairs 3 or 4 hours, you'll thank God for them padded pews. Amen. And I appreciate the goodness of God. God's really blessed us and helped us. My wife called me 2 or 3 times. Although she said the fire's out. And the only thing bothers her about that is the curling iron don't work. My wife's idea of roughing it is the 5th floor of the Howard Johnson's Hotel in downtown Atlanta. But we get spoiled with modern conveniences. When Brother Melvin was a little boy, he probably didn't even have electricity in the house. And that's the truth. My daddy didn't have it till he was a teenager. In fact, the matter, Billy Kelly said one time when he was a little boy, said his grandma carpeted the bathroom. Said she liked it so good, she run up the path on me to the back porch, amen. You'll get that after a while. But God has been good to us. And we don't have anything to complain about, do we? God has been good. He's still good. Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight, what a chapter. It's often been called God's honor roll. It's been called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And what a wonderful thing it is that you and I can live by faith. In fact, the Bible said the just shall live by faith. And I'm glad tonight that faith honors God and God honors faith. All through the Word of God, we have been told that we need faith. All through the Bible, we have been challenged to live by faith. But nowhere in the Word of God did God ever really tell us what faith is until we come to Hebrews chapter number 11. And he opens up the faith chapter by defining faith. He gives one of the greatest definitions of faith you'll find in all of the Bible. He says, now faith is. And that little word is, I love it. Faith is, it's real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a figment of the imagination. Faith is real. And I'm glad tonight our faith is not founded on the sinking sands of religion. I'm glad God got a hold of me before the Baptist church did. I've met some people lately, I believe, that were more proud to be a Baptist than they were a child of God. And I'm glad to be a Baptist, but I'm glad to be saved. Amen. Somebody asked Brother Mays Jackson one time, they said, do you believe the Baptists are the only ones going to heaven? He said, no, half of them ain't going. I mean, the only people going to heaven is born again, blood washed children of God. Faith, our faith is real. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. And faith has a foundation. And so he opens up the faith chapter by defining faith. Then he continues the faith chapter by demonstrating faith. He not only tells us what faith is, but he shows us what faith does in the lives of real people. And beginning at over there with Brother Adam and over there with Brother Abel and going all the way down through the prophets, he tells us that faith really works in the lives of real people. And the reason why faith works in the lives of real people is because faith is real. And I love these characters that he talks about in Hebrews 11. These are not fictitious characters in a novel. These are real people that lived in a real world and had real problems and they fought a real devil, but they served a real God and they had real victory. Because they had real faith. And God mentions these different people in the Bible who excelled because of faith that they had in God. I wish I had time one of these days to just start with that first character and preach on all of these characters of faith. But I'm interested, the Lord willing, tonight and tomorrow night both, in verse number 24 about this man by the name of Moses. And just look at one of these characters in this hall of fame. A man by the name of Moses who excelled for God because of his faith. I read where historians said one time, there's only been 10 people who left their footprints in the sands of. He mentioned eight, and then he said Moses, and then he said Jesus Christ. 10 men have left their footprints in the sands of time. Believe tonight, the greatest of them all is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In fact, the Song of Solomon said, he's the chiefest among 10,000. The Song of Solomon said, you march the 10,000 best out there, and Jesus outshines them all. But it is a wonderful thing that a fellow by the name of Moses, who came from an obscure village on the backside of Egypt, rose to the prominent position to be a leader in the land of Egypt, and he did that because of faith that he had in God. Here is a slave kid. Here is a nobody. Here's a person that looks like they have no potential whatsoever at all, but leaves their footprints in the sands of time, has their name splashed all over the recorded word of God. Here is a man that people name their children out of. I've not heard nobody name one Pharaoh yet. I hadn't heard one called Korah yet. I've seen some ought to have been called Korah. Say amen right there. But here's a man that excelled for God because of his faith. If you'll study the life of Moses, it wasn't his personality. It wasn't his talents. It wasn't his abilities. In fact, at the burning bush, Moses argues with God and says that he don't even have any. The secret to Moses excelling in the work of God, leaving his mark for God, was his faith was real and his faith was strong. Now, beginning in verse number 24, down through verse number 28, I have circled some words in this text, some action words. And if you'll underscore these words and look at them, it'll give you the characteristics of the faith of Moses. For instance, in verse number 24, I have the word refuse circled in my Bible. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had refusing faith. In verse number 25, I have circled the word choosing in the text. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He had choosing faith. In verse number 26, I have the word esteeming circled in my Bible. He had esteeming faith. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. In verse number 27, I have the word forsook underscored in that text. He had forsaking faith. Faith gave him the ability to reject the world and say yes to the will of God. In verse number 27, I have the word endured circled in my Bible. He had enduring faith, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then in verse number 28, I have the word kept circled in my Bible. He had keeping faith. Through faith, he kept the Passover. And if you'll study these action words, they describe the characteristics of the faith of Moses. He had refusing faith. He had choosing faith. He had esteeming faith. He had forsaking faith. He had enduring faith. And he had keeping faith. These are the six graces of faith in the life of Moses. And I would say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it would behoove you and I, for you and I in our faith, to get some good old-fashioned refusing faith and some choosing faith and some esteeming faith. Let me say it like this. Moses' faith was so real that it gave him the ability to say no to the wrong things, and it gave him the ability to say yes to the right thing. Let me say it like this. His faith was so strong, it gave him the ability to reject the world, but gave him the ability to say yes to the will of God. And let me just say to you young people here tonight, the rest of your life will depend on the choices that you make. Now, you have control over the choice, but not the circumstances that choice brings. We see that in marriage. You have the ability to choose. I started to say what you marry, but you have the ability to choose who you marry. But the consequences that marriage brings, you don't have any choice over that. Young people, you can choose whether to smoke pot or not. You have the ability to choose that, but you don't have any ability to worry about the consequences. The control is the choice. The consequences, there is no choice. I tell young people all across the country, if you want to have a good life, make good choices. If you want to have a good future, make good choices. If you want a life out yonder that gives God glory, make the right choices. And I don't know about you, but every day our life is filled with choices. And we need the faith, we need the wisdom, we need the knowledge, we need the touch of God to help you and I make the right choices in life. No wonder the Bible says that faith pleases a God. And I'm interested in the faith that Moses had in the Lord. I want to use verse number 24 as my text tonight. And I want to deal with that little word refused. And tonight I want to preach on the refusing faith of Moses. And I want to entitle the message this tonight, Goodbye World, Goodbye. Because that is exactly what this faith did in the life of Moses. By faith, he refused the world. And may I say this tonight? The world has never been a friend to the people of God. Amen. You have a threefold enemy tonight. Your flesh, the devil, and the world. This world system is against God. This world system is against the Bible. And the world has never been a friendly foe to the people of God. The world is our enemy. And there are a lot of people tonight that's going to miss the will of God. They're going to miss God's best. They're going to miss reaching their potential because of the world. But I'm glad faith tonight is bigger than the world. In fact, my old brother John said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, brother John said, hey, what is that victory that overcometh the world? He said, even our faith. Can I remind you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that we are not victims of circumstances, but we are victors over circumstances through Jesus Christ. We're not a ragtag army walking into glory on our last leg, but we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Victory was won at Calvary. We're on the winning side, and the devil is defeated, and there's victory in Jesus tonight. Notice verse number 4, the Bible said, by faith, when he was come to years, here it is, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses came to the crossroads, and the world was this way, but the will of God was that way. And faith gave him the ability to reject and say no to the world. You say, Brother Joe, what did Moses, by faith, refuse that the world had to offer? Well, look in our text tonight. By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Number one, write this down tonight. By faith, he refused the position of the world. He refused the world's position. May I say again to you young people tonight, listen carefully. The devil will offer you anything within his kingdom just to keep you from serving God. There's been many a person that missed the will of God for their life because the devil dangled some worldly position in front of them, and they chose that position over the will of God. But let me say this tonight. Why should you worry about a world's position? Because if you're saved tonight, you already have one in Jesus Christ. A lot of our preaching deals about what we used to be and we're not. And a lot of our preaching deals about what we're going to be, but we're not yet. I want somebody to preach on what we are now and what we've got now. I'm going to tell you young fellas, you want to study that a three-year-old soul, study the doctrine of positional truth in the Word of God. Not what we're going to be, but what we are right now. Someone said, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to let the glory roll. I'm going to let it roll right now because I'm going. Somebody said, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout all over God's land. I'm going to have me a spell right now. You don't have to wait till you die and go to heaven to enjoy being saved. Man, I bet there's a religion. And they don't make a saint out of you until you're dead. And I'm telling you right now, if you wait till you dead to become a saint, you've waited too long. You said, just who do you think you are tonight? You're looking at Saint Joseph, buddy. Hello, Saint Eddie. Hello, Saint Melvin. I'm not going to say hello, Saint Dave. God's still working on him a little bit. Brother, I want to tell you, I'm saved right now. I'm born again right now. I'm regenerated right now. You say, just who do you think you are? I'm glad you asked. I'm a born again, blood walked, Holy Ghost regenerated, heaven bound, Holy Ghost sealed, child of God, been washed in the blood, born of the Spirit. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Ghost is my Comforter. The church is my family. The Bible is my book. Heaven is my home, and preaching is my business. I'm saved and sealed and satisfied now. Join heir with God. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, the devil is in the business of offering you a position just to keep you from serving God. Do you realize what all Moses gave up? Did you know that Moses was the next in line to be the next Pharaoh of the greatest empire of that known world? But he looked at it and said, see ya. I'm out of here. I don't need you. Moses, you fool. Look what you're giving up. I believe if Moses was alive today, he'd say something like this. The world behind me and the cross before me. If the world's that way and the will of God is that way, praise God, I'm going that way. Boy, I remember that night when God brought me to the crossroads, and I'm glad faith kicked in and I chose God over the positions of the world. Man, you got to understand something about the life of Moses for this to be really real to you. Do you know how Pharaoh made that decree? But he's going to have all the male Hebrew boys murdered and chucked in the Nile River. But you see, Moses had a mama who God got a hold of before Pharaoh could get a hold of. And when she had baby Moses, she saw he was a proper child. And the Bible said she hid him for 3 months. I love to hear these people say, well, you can't hide your kid from the world. As long as it lives over at your house, you can hide from anything you want to. Hello? You say, but my God, they got to grow up sometime. Yeah, but they ain't got to grow up at 3. I believe one of the greatest injustices we're doing to our young people, we're trying to rob them of being kids when they ought to be kids. She hid that boy. She hid him from the world. And I believe it's every parent's responsibility as long as we can to shelter. Somebody said, man, you sheltering your young'uns. I'm sheltering them all they can because there's a God-forsaken wicked world out here they need to be sheltered from. But I love this. She hid him for 3. But when she could not hide him no longer, and there will come a day when you can't hide your child any longer. There will come a day when you can't do any more than you've done. But watch what she did. When she could not hide him any longer, she made that ark of bulrushes. Praise God, I felt like preaching tonight. You weren't really serious about getting out early, were you? And she made that ark of bulrushes. And she pitched that thing within and with that would pitch. She put that little bundle of joy and in that ark, she took him down to the Nile River and she put him under the care of a sovereign God. She did the only thing she could do. She put him in God's hand. I believe if she put that boy in that ark and she put that ark in him bulrushes, I believe she walked away that day saying, God, I've done all I can do. You'll have to take over. I want to tell you moms and dads something tonight. When you've done all you can do, when you've said all you can say and you prayed all you know how to pray, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that can take over where you and I leave off. He can go where we can't go. He can say what we can't say. He'll do what he can. I'm telling you, son, God, I come through. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Moses is in that ark of bulrushes floating down the crocodile-infested Nile River. How come one of them crocodiles didn't tip over that little ark and have Moses for a snack? Honey, I believe every time that old crocodile snuck its own nose up out of that thing, he bumped into that ark, and on the side of that ark it said, have faith in God. Woo! I believe every time that old croc stuck its old schnauzer up out of that ark, I believe he saw a sign that said, Mama's Prayer. I want to tell you, God can go where we can't go. He can say what we can't say. He can do what we can't do. And I'm glad when we take our cares and our children and our lives and place them into the hands of the providence of God, we can go back singing victory in Jesus, because brother, he's never a day late nor a dollar short. You ain't got to worry about God letting his end of the deal down. And so there he is, floating in that ark. Now, I want to tell you something. You can't beat the way that God can orchestrate your life, because God has it all together right here. And at the very spot where Moses is afloating in the boat, Pharaoh's daughter comes to wash. And at the very place where she comes to wash, God had Miriam, his big sister. And boy, there's times when, thank God for nosy sissy, she's peeking behind the bulrushes. And at the very spot where he's in the ark, Pharaoh's daughter is in the water, Miriam's peeking behind the bushes, the Holy Ghost gets in that ark, pinches baby Moses, and he cries at the right time. I mean, if he'd have cried a mile down the river, she wouldn't have heard him. But you see, there's a God who is a sovereign, that he's got the whole world in his hands, and he's directing traffic down there by. Woo! I tell you, that'd make me want to pull Eddie Shoemate. Glory to God. Hey! Woo! God's directing traffic down there by the Nile River. He's putting that ark where it's supposed to be. He's bringing Pharaoh's daughter where she's supposed to be. He's bringing Moses and brother, they have a head-on collision right down there in the providence of God. I'm telling you, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and you can improve on the way God can orchestrate your life. Holy Ghost pinches that baby. Whoop! He cries. Pharaoh's daughter hears it. She sees that ark floating. She goes over there and pulls the lid off that ark. And she looks down in that ark. And son, I believe old Moses, buddy, I believe he turned it on. You say, what do you mean? Honey, only the charm a young'un can bring. I mean, that unmistakable look, like, I know I'm mean, and I know I deserve it, but you know I'm too sweet for you to whoop me. You said, I don't know what you're talking about. You ain't never had no babies at your house. Remember when you brought that thing home from the hospital? You thought, oh, ain't this wonderful? That's till you tried to sleep the first night. Boy, you bring that bundle of joy home, and you finally put the little thing in its room, and finally you go to your room and pass out by exhaustion. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, you jump up and say, oh God, he's swallowed the bed sheet. He's choking on his pacifier. Boy, you jump up during the night, run through the house dark, bump your head, stump your toe. By the time you get in there, you're a complete invalid. Turn on the light, and he said, somebody said you ought not to whoop your kid when you're mad. Well, if you don't do it when you're mad, you won't do it when you get over being mad. Son, I believe she pulled the lid off that ark. Son, if anybody ever turned on the charm, Moses, son, I believe he looked at her in such a way that her heart done somersaults. Well, if the heart of the king's in the hand of God, I guess the heart of the king's daughter is in the hand of God. I'm telling you, son, when God's running your life, when God's orchestrating your life, he'll even have your enemies fall in love with you. And she looked down, he looked up, and some of those motherly feelings got stirring in her. And she said, I want him. I want him. I want him to be mine. You say she didn't know he was a Hebrew. She took one look at him. I don't know whether it was his nose or what it was. But she took one look at him. She said, this is one of them Hebrew babies. Boy, now listen now. She wants to be its mother. But she's got a problem. She can't nurse. She's never had a baby. She can't nurse. But she remembers, wait a minute. There are some mothers down here in Goshen who's just had their babies jerked out of the arms. I bet they can nurse. And about that time, old big sister Miriam sticks her nose in and says, hey, lady, over here. She looks over there, and there's Moses' sister. And she said, would you like me to go get one of the Hebrew ladies to nurse this baby? And she said, you know one? She said, do I ever? Now, I'm trying to tell you, you can't beat the way that God can orchestrate your life. Listen to this. She said, all right, you go find her. You get her to do it. I love this part. I got wrote down my outline run right here. I love this part. She says, go tell her to do it. And Pharaoh's daughter says, I'll even pay her wages. Not only did she get her son back, she got to nurse it, and the devil had to pay for it. Boy, I like it when the devil has to flip the bill. I like what Billy Kelly said one time. He said, if I knew without a doubt, positively, that Jesus would come back tomorrow, he said, I'd go borrow $1 million on 25% interest and leave the devil with the payments. Oliver Green got a letter one time from an old bootlegger with a check in it for $1,000. Use it for radio time. And one of them Baptist Pharisees said, my God, Dr. Green, are you going to take that bootlegger's money? He said, I sure am. Said, the devil's had it long enough. Hey, she not only got her baby back, she not only got to see him live, she got to nurse him. She got to raise him. And the devil had to pay for it. I want to tell you young people something tonight. Don't be afraid to sell out to God. Don't be afraid to go all the way with God. He'll supply your needs. And the devil will have to pay for it. Whoop! Now listen. I don't know what all she told him. Those years she nursed at her bosom and rocked on her, I do not know what all she told him. But whatever it was, Egypt could never pull it out of him. He went off to school. Whoop! He left her side and was gone for 80 years. And one day God pushed recall. Hallelujah. Let me encourage any Sunday school teachers here tonight. You ever teach a Sunday school and get discouraged? Why, them little knotheads, they wasn't listening. Wiggling, throwing spit wads at girls, making faces, picking boogers and everything else. You know I'm telling the truth. Man, you walk out of the Sunday school class going, Lord, I'm just waiting. Hey, keep on teaching. Teach another lesson. Pray another prayer. One day God will mass recall. Your preacher will be preaching. He'll give him the invitation. God will mass recall. And one of them knotheads will walk down that aisle, stop by your pew and say, you want to go to altar with me and pray? I'm telling you, boys, you put it in them and keep it in them. And one day a sovereign God a mass recall. I don't know what all she told him, but all them years in Egypt philosophy couldn't out of him. And one day God mass recall. And just like that prodigal son came to himself in the hog pen, Moses came to himself in the land of Egypt. And he looked around and said something like this. This ain't my crowd. I don't belong here. I don't belong here. This is not my blood type. They're not from the same family tree. I don't belong here. Well, Moses, where you belong is on the other side of the river. And on the other side over yonder ain't nothing but a bunch of heartaches and troubles. Moses said, forget it. I know where I belong. But wait a minute, Moses. Look what you could be. You could be the next Pharaoh. He said, I can't help it. Mama put something in me bigger than the pyramids of Egypt. Mama put something in me bigger than the world's position. And he turned his back on what the world had to offer. Set his face toward the wilderness. And he rejected the world and said yes to the will of God. Boy, I want to tell you what God will do to you and me in all of our lives. He'll bring us to the crossroads. And we'll have to choose the world's position or the will of God. Amen. I grew up in a preacher's family. And let me say this tonight. It's a miracle that all preacher's kids ain't heathens. It's one every one of them ain't an infidel. See people walk all over their daddy and talk about their daddy and treat their daddy like a dog. And then we wonder why sometimes his kids go bad. One of them long tongued biddies said to my daddy one time, she said, you got the meanest kid in the church. She said, I wonder why that is. He said, because I let him play with your young'un. Woo! I grew up in a preacher's home, and I'll be honest with you, I love the Lord, and I didn't want to be a rank heathen, but I wasn't interested in being no preacher. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to move to Atlanta, Georgia. I didn't get that part. And I wanted to enroll in Gupton Jones University of Mortuary Science and get my undertaking papers. You say, why would you want to do that? The customers don't talk back. Son, even women don't say nothing back there. I got tired of that. I remember one time when my daddy had me and my three sisters made $75 a week, and he had a deacon that accused him for preaching for money. His name was Brother McCormick, but Daddy called him Brother Object. Because everything we wanted to do, he objected. Finally, my daddy said to him one day, he said, Brother, if Jesus was to come back today, would you object to that? No, he said, no, I believe that'd be okay. And old Brother McCormick had a philosophy. He'd keep my daddy broke if God would keep him humble. I don't know why some people has the philosophy that the preacher ought to drive a 25-year-old car and wear a hand-me-down suit and live under a clothesline and drink rabbit tracks. Hello? B.R. Lincoln got that Cadillac and one of them old Pharisees went up there and said, that's going to ruin you. He said, it didn't ruin my family doctor. She said, Jesus rode a donkey. He said, I will too, baby, throw a saddle on your back. You'll get that after a while. Boy, I was running from that. I want to, maybe all undertakers are not rich, but they look like it to me. My daddy would go there to preach the funeral in a Studebaker, and he had a big old limousine. By the way, you know what a hypocrite is, don't you? It's an undertaker trying to look sad at a $20,000 funeral. Yeah, you'll get that after a while. Your wife's a little slow, brother, but she catches it after. Man, I didn't want to be a preacher and be poor. But like that little boy, he run in one night, told his mother, said, Mother, God's called me to preach. She started squalling. He said, are you glad? She said, no, you're going to be poor the rest of your life. Man, I wanted to make some money. I wanted to have something. And you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to do my own thing. And one summer, God Almighty just stepped in, interrupted my plans, and as we say in the mountains, rearranged my situation. He did let me move to Atlanta. And he did let me do the next best thing to undertaking, pastor a bunch of dead Baptists. When I was wanting to to be an undertaker, and you have to take chemistry, you have to take a lot of biology and stuff. So I was taking all the biology I could in school. And I remember the summer, I got saved in June of 79, turned 17 in July of 79, and started preaching in August of 79. This past year we celebrated 25 years of preaching. Man, it's been wonderful. Son, don't look at me like you feel, but I've had the time of my life, baby. You hear me? I ain't got no limousine, but I've had the time of my life. Woo! And I remember after the first six, God saved me during the summer. I won't ever went back to school, and that back then we got to go back the day after Labor Day. That's when they ought to get to go back now. And get out Memorial Day. Well, I won't run no more rabbits on that. But the news beat me back to school. You hear about old Joe this summer? He got religion. Oh, glad God Joe got saved, amen. I'll never forget one of them fellas come up to me. He said, man, I heard something. I said, what? He said, I heard you going to be a preacher. I said, well, I'm going to give it a shot. He said, man, you ain't, but he said, man, you're just in the 11th grade, and I know you're sitting there trying to figure it all out. What was he doing in the 11th grade at 17? All right, if you have to know everything, I failed one. You say, Rich, one. Number four. I hate fourth grade teachers to this day. I told her one day, I said, I ain't done nothing. She said, you idiot, that's why you're going to fail. You don't ever do nothing. Boy, one of them, he said, I heard you going to preach. I said, I'm going to do the best I can. Well, I had a biology teacher named Mr. Butler. Man, when he found out I was going to be a young preacher, bless his heart, he zeroed in on me. Man, he believed in evolution. I didn't either till I met Miss Butler. No kin to y'all. Sang me out of that one, Eddie. He believed in devil, and he just like every day hammered me. I didn't know how to debate. I barely knew John 3:16 in the Roman road. I didn't have all that. I didn't know how to debate him, and he did every day just hound me to death. But see, my little old mother had done got a hold of me for that other butler got a hold of me. Now, I'll never forget after our first 6 weeks, we had our first 6 weeks exam. Man, I come back in there that morning. I walked in his class. He looked at me. He said, come here, boy. Come back in my office. Where we walked back there with all them frogs and all them worms and all that formaldehyde. He looked at me. He said, you know what you made on that test yesterday? I said, no, sir. He said, you made 100. Elizabeth, this is a big one. He said, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm doing, but you're not that spiritual. He said, not only that, he said, you got the bonus question right. I said, well, I prayed about it and God helped me. He said, you cheat? I said, no, sir, I didn't cheat. I said, but I did ask God to help me. He said, well, something helped you because you did great. I said, well, what's the meeting for? He said, now, what are you going to do when you grow up? When you get out of school, what are you going to do? Boy, I didn't have a lot of sense, but I had a whole lot of bone. And son, sometimes when you got more boldness and you got sense, you can get yourself in trouble. Buddy, that boldness kicked in. I said, bless God. I'm going to be an old-fashioned Holy Ghost Baptist preacher like my daddy. He liked to die back there in that formaldehyde. Son, he whipped them glasses off. He said, what? I said, I'm going to be an old-fashioned Holy Ghost Baptist preacher like my daddy. He said, my God, my God. I said, that's exactly who I'm going to be preaching about. I'll never forget what he, and the reason why, I never forgot what he said. Nobody had ever said that to me before or since. He looked at me, he said, young man, you're very intelligent. I hope you're laughing with me and not at me. I said, well, thank you, sir. He made this statement. He said, either you're very intelligent or you got a good memory. He said, that's awesome, that's great. He said, well, I'll ask you something. What are you going to do with your life? I said, I done told you, I'm going to preach. I'll never forget what that man said to me. He said, you're a fool. He said, what do you want to waste your life doing that for? He said, boy, you got potential. Well, I didn't even know what he was talking about. I thought it was something I had to take pills for. I didn't even know what he was talking about. He said, boy, you got potential. I said, is that good? He said, yeah. He said, you could go places. You could be whatever you wanted to be. Why do you want to waste your life doing that? You see what he didn't understand. That's what I want to be. When God got a hold of me, Eddie, Brother Eddie, he got a hold of my want to be. When God changed me, he changed my want to be. Woo! That's been 25 years ago this month. I don't know what Mr. Butler's doing. I don't know if he's still cutting up them frogs or whatever. But this old boy right here has had the time of my life. And I don't think I've wasted any of it. Amen. I just want to serve notice on the devil. It's been worth every mile of the trip.
Amen.
Praise God on you. You want to run with me here?
If I wouldn't
grip. Woo! I want to tell you what you say. Hadn't you had some burdens? Yep. Hadn't you had some troubles? Sure. Hadn't you had some heartaches? Yeah. But I want you to know, hallelujah, it's been worth every mile of the trip. And go ahead and write this down. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know of. And I'd do it all over again. Got no regrets. Got no complaints. I'm glad I said yes to the will of God. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of men that will miss God's best because they're not willing to give up some stinking position that the world has dangled in front of them. There's a lot of politicians could be used of God mightily, but they're afraid if they take a stand for God, it will cost them political clout. So now I was in the airport the other day. And I've never been bashful. I've been ignorant, but I ain't never been bashful. And I looked over there and I saw a fella and I thought, boy, that looks like Zell Miller. I said, I'll just go over and find. Hey, I met Ric Flair the other day. And I found out something. His mouth is as big in person as it is on television. But I walked over that man. I said, excuse me, sir. And those guys are kind of afraid right now. Hey, I said, excuse me, sir. I said, you're Mr. Miller. He said, yes, sir. I said, I'm Joe Arthur, pastor of Jones. Now that guy stood to his feet. Tears rolled down his eyes. He said, God bless you, pastor. I said, I just want to shake the hand of a man that ain't afraid to say what he believes. Whether you agree with him or not, thank God he's got guts enough to say it. And I said, I'm glad there's somebody that's not worried about a party. They're worried about their own personal conviction. Yeah. That man stood there and crying, introduced me to his wife, and he made this statement. He said, God bless you, pastor. Pray for me. Pray for me. I thought, I'm glad everybody's not been snookered. Everybody's not been cowered by the world. I'm glad there's some people left that'll stand for God and do what's right, no matter what the world has to say about it. Not trying to tell you all about my family, but my dad, most of you know my dad, but you've only known him the last half of his life. Boy, I wish you could have met him before the stroke, before the brain tumor in his prime. Boy, you talk about a preacher. 6'3", 285 pounds, wore a size 12 triple E, and honey, when he threw that foot on the pulpit, it looked like Noah's Ark sticking up there. Preach in the power of God. I ain't kidding you. I'm talking about way back here when I didn't even know who God was myself. I knew that man knew God. Woo! Amen. I remember one night in our little church, revival broke out. I'm talking about Holy Ghost revival broke out. About the fifth night of that revival, one Friday night about 10 o'clock, we still in church. I sat with my babysitter. He said, why don't you sit with your mother? She done passed out too near about it. Whoop! And I said to that lady, I said, where's my daddy? She said, last time I saw him, he was running that way. And I remember finding my daddy that night, Brother O'Neill. Listen to this now. I'm not a charismatic. I'm a Baptist, but I'm a Holy Ghost Baptist. But listen to me. I found my daddy that night, It's a little bit bigger communion table. Didn't have these railings in it like this. And he had crawled up under it, laying on his back with his handkerchief going, whoop. He had done shouted till he'd best been, I mean, just shouted out. Two big old men had to get on each side of my daddy, and that's the only time I ever known my daddy to have to have a designated driver. Ooh. I was preaching the other day in one of those independent, fundamental, premillennial Bible conferences and told that, you ought to seen the look I got. Son, you ought to seen the look I got. They were going like, oh my God, he's charismatic or something. I'm going to tell you, I believe in the Holy Ghost. And that old man preached that and prayed, shouted, God sassed him into power of God. I believe in that, hallelujah. I believe in that. Woo! And son, my daddy in his young days was really rising in that area where he lived. But there came a time when he had to stand against some liberalism. People in his denomination began to attack that book and say it wasn't the infallible word of God. I'm going to tell you something, son. If it's King James Bible ain't the inerrant infallible word of God, we all been snookered and we ain't got a leg to stand on. Amen. I don't compromise. I don't waver. I'm not even worried about that book not being the word of God. It always has been. It still is. And it always will be God's infallible, inerrant word. Thank God for the Bible. Woo! And he took a stand. And my grandpa was a good man. Don't you take this wrong. My grandpa was a wonderful man. But he's like everybody else. He had some hang-ups. And he thought more of his denomination than he did his flesh and blood. And when my daddy made that bold stand for God, my papa went up to him. He said, you're cut off. You're done. You've messed up. He said, Dad, I've not messed up. I've just got fixed up.
Amen.
And I'm not just trying to air out my family business, but for six months, my grandfather would walk that close to my dad, his own flesh and blood, and wouldn't even speak to him or acknowledge his presence. But did you think, let me ask you, do you think Dad recanted? You think he changed his mind or retracted? Son, if you got a retract, you evidently was on the wrong track. Can I run me a good rabbit right here? All these people jumping ship in the middle of the stream, they must have been on the wrong boat to start with.
Amen.
Hey, if you change, either you were wrong and got right, or you was right and got wrong. And if you're right, you don't have to change, because there ain't nothing to change into.
Amen.
And thank God, before my grandfather died and went to heaven, he called my daddy in his room, beside of his bed, and told my daddy, said, I love you. And I'm proud of you. Glory to God. Son, that makes my daddy 10 feet tall in my book. Hallelujah. Hey. Woo. Son, I got some more points, but this one right here will do. Some week my daddy was having a little powwow the other day. He said, now, boy. You know, I'm from Redneckville. I don't care if your name is Joe or Jim Bob or George. It's boy. Boy. Boy, I'm telling you something, boy. He had that stroke. He can't hardly talk. He said, I'm telling you right now, boy. He said, no. I died, boy, so won't you preach my funeral, boy. I said, why you want me to preach a funeral? He said, you know more about me than anybody else does. I said, boy, you better believe that. And I said, Dad, I won't have one problem saying something good about you. I won't have one problem saying anything good about him.
Amen.
I won't even have to think about it. Won't even have to study.
Praise God.
Won't even have to pray about it. Because he's already said it. Woo! By the way he lived. By the way he acted. I'm glad he made up his mind. He chose the world. He chose God over the world's position. And I believe faith will give us the ability to say to the world and everything it's got to offer, I don't want it. I don't need it. Because if you got God, you got it all. Anybody here believes what I believe about that? If you got the Lord, you got it all. I got some more points, but I'm just going to quit right there and hook back up tomorrow night. Faith gave him the ability to look at the world's position. Say, I don't need it. I'm going with God. Do you remember when you was at the crossroads? Boy, the devil dangled everything the world had in front of you. He threatened you with starvation. Threatened a Baptist preacher with starvation. You know what they call a vest on a preacher like me? A potholder, glory to God. And I'm looking around at some of you other preachers and don't look like y'all been starving yourselves. Have we got anybody in this room tonight? You saved and you know it and you glad about it and you can say to God be the glory. Every need supplied. Every need supplied. Has not God been everything that he would be? And blessed be God and a whole lot more. He was able to reject the position of the world and say yes to the will of God. I read this the other day in closing. It blessed my heart. Said they're having church one day and little old grandma had her shouting spell. Boy, I'm glad I'm not a stranger to somebody having a shouting spell. Amen. I get on. I promote it. I advocate it. I agitate it. I pump the prime. I mean, I like it. If I see you sitting there just thinking about having a spell, I'm going to sick him. This world needs to meet some people that's not ashamed of Jesus. The old grandma had her a spell. Her little granddaughter just sitting there watching grandma enjoy God. Brother, I love you. Said on the way home, that little girl looked up at grandma and said, Grandma, I'd give anything in this world to have a touch of God on me like that. Little grandma said, Darling, that's exactly what it'll cost you. Did you hear my phrase? Mama, I'd give anything in this world to have the touch of God on me like that. And Mama said, Honey, that's exactly what it'll cost you in this old world. Oh, I'm glad the world behind us and the cross before us. No turning back. We're too near home to start backpedaling. Woo! Let's go with God tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the liberty to preach in this place. Thank you for the kind, gracious attention of this audience tonight. God, I am glad our faith is able to kick in and it'll give us the ability to reject the world and say yes to the will of God. God, help us tonight to realize the world doesn't have a position worth us missing out on the will of God and God's best. Help us tonight to make a fresh commitment that we're going with God all the way for the glory of God. Help us to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. Speak to our hearts tonight and help us to leave this place with a greater determination to please God and set sail for God, for you are worthy of our allegiance. And we give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.